Department of Defense contracting officials now are under orders to double-check prices on the General Services Administration's federal supply schedule. DOD says the GSA schedule doesn't always have the best price possible, at least as far as they can find it. Guy Timberlake is chief visionary officer and chief executive officer at the American Small Business Coalition, and he's writing about some reaction to this in his GovCon newsletter this week. Guy, this has caused quite a hubbub. I mean, I'm sure the Defense Department expected this when they threw this out there, but this has caused quite a stir. What are people at companies and the people you talk to inside GSA telling you about this, Guy? Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Francis. Well, let me start by saying I don't think DOD cares that they caused a hubbub necessarily, because it really is about saving money. So that's what it really comes down to. And you know, the fair and reasonable determination on the GSA schedules is, you know, according to the folks that I'm talking to, who are current former contracting officials, is the primary reason they would ever use the schedule in the first place, because otherwise they would write their own contracts. So what we're seeing right now is a lot of companies who have established a beachhead, as it were, within DOD vis-a-vis the GSA schedule, or were planning to, are having to maybe possibly reconsider that. Again, it's not that anything has happened yet or is going to happen immediately, but the fact that the policy came out effective immediately, well, you know, things could change pretty much overnight.
What do you think that says, though, to the other agencies who are considering using the federal supply schedule? If a policy is good enough for DOD, usually that means policy is good enough for other agencies. And I hear that from the civilian agencies a lot. We don't copy what the Defense Department does, but it does influence our decision-making processes. That applies in reverse, too. And if DOD says you shouldn't do something, in this case, take the federal supply schedule for granted, I imagine that means the same thing will trickle down to other agencies, too. Maybe not in a formal policy like Mr. Jinman released, but it may be a more informal or kind of an ad hoc thing.
Well, I think so. I mean, and definitely I think agencies probably look at pricing anyway and practices anyway. But, yeah, I mean, DOD, I believe the numbers were accounts for 25% of sales on the GSA schedule, if I read that correctly. So, yeah, I mean, they're definitely a barometer for, you know, any other agencies and how they may do things, at least from strictly an observer standpoint. So if GSA comes out saying, okay, or DOD comes out saying, we're going to, you know, change something or do something, you can be sure the other agencies are at least going to take notice of it.
If you're GSA, what do you do, maybe not publicly, but how do you react behind the scenes to this?
Well, you know, and I'd love to be behind the scenes of the GSA right now just to see what's going on, because, I mean, something like this played out, you know, I mean, not even 10 years ago when I think Congress took the heavy hand, and based on some things that were going on as reported by the IGs from GSA and DOD, there was a, you know, veritable smackdown put down then between DOD and GSA that I forgot how long it was in effect, but it really changed how DOD did business, you know, with GSA for quite a while. So this isn't anything new, at least for folks like me who've, you know, been kind of seeing these things going for a while. But again, this is pretty significant because, again, that one, you know, factor, that one caveat about the GSA schedule, when I talked to contracting officers, and there was one in particular who's, you know, Air Force contracting for 31 years, who basically wrote, we were on LinkedIn sharing information, if using the GSA schedule is going to take just as long and require the same extensive amount of documentation, why use it?
And that's why I really would like to hear what's going on inside there, because, I mean, with the emphasis that they placed on customer service there, if now something is happening that would cause customers to look in different directions, I could see there being a lot of unease behind the scenes.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and you and I have talked about this before, just some of the changes, you know, that we've seen in trends relative to awards against contract vehicles versus standalone contracts, or even just the shift away from schedule buys to agency-specific contract vehicle buys. And I think this just, you know, really just helps kind of push the emphasis there that agencies are probably, you know, at least in certain aspects, more inclined to use their own contract vehicles.
Guy Timberlake is the chief visionary officer at the American Small Business Coalition, writing about the Defense Department's decision at in the GovCon Information and Intelligence newsletter, and you can find out more about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. Guy, you're also writing about something I think is interesting, machines versus humans, and it has to do with the business development landscape and maybe some misconceptions that some of the humans that come into the marketplace, or even some of them that have been in for a while, have about exactly how you get ahead, Guy.
Absolutely. There is a fantastic conversation going on LinkedIn right now. Carl Dixon of Capture Planning has a group out there. It's about 17,000 strong. And the conversation started last January 2013, where he asked a very simple question related to one of the competitive intelligence tools and basically said, is it worth the cost? And there have been, I think, 60-plus posts against that over the course of 14 months now. I've had my share in there as well. But one of the major misperceptions that a lot of folks have, in my estimation, is they believe that these tools can answer all the questions that need to be answered to develop a business case about pursuing work or not. And there are a lot of folks that just say, you know, it really ain't so. And I kind of mentioned in the write-up, you know, there are a lot of people that swear by these, and there are probably some others that swear at them too. But, you know, the premise of it is market research and competitive intelligence has changed as this industry has changed, and it's more incumbent on companies to be more efficient with how they get information and how they use that information. And one of the things that's happening is a level of complacency that's being fostered as a result of these tools. Folks tend to think that, okay, I don't need to do anything else except for wait for my smartphone to buzz and tell me what's going on.
But, Guy, this is the same as human nature is in every single part of the world. I mean, I would much rather not eat less and exercise more to lose weight. I'd much rather just take a pill and have it happen. It's the same idea, right?
Well, we're all looking for the easy button,
right?
What it comes down to. And so what we're, you know, I think a lot of folks are trying to say, and one of the things that we teach regularly in our programs is, you know, 26 years into it, I have yet to find one person or one place I can go to answer the range of questions that would help me win a piece of business. I mean, it starts with who buys what I sell all the way up to, you know, who has the customer intimacy. And the tools are great from a number crunching standpoint and even maybe some, I'll say, more strategic information sharing. But again, you know, in the long list of, you know, questions that a company may answer during its gate review or bid, no bid, there's just too many things that are going to be left unanswered.
Yeah, you get at something here that you've told me before. That you're writing again in the newsletter this week, and that is, I come away with the impression that you're telling me these are all tools and these are all helpful in various ways, the same way as we have a chest of tools in the garage that you and I use to go out and fix stuff. But there's not one in there that fixes every single thing in the house.
Well, and the other thing is the tool is only as good as the person using it. And so when it's
in my case, not so hot.
Well, what happens is when a person or a company that does not have established processes, the fundamentals for developing market research, developing competitive intelligence, for putting together a theme that will help them write a response, you know, and win a piece of business, that tool is simply, I mean, you're using a screwdriver where you should have a Phillips head, you know, or a screwdriver where you should have a saw. It's simply not going to do the job for you. It's, you know, it's going to help you do the job.
I think I need you to come by the house and help me with some stuff this weekend, Guy.
I'll bring my hacks. Absolutely.
I'm inspired now by the newsletter and by this conversation. Thanks very much, my friend. Always good to talk to you.
You as well, Francis. Thank you.